I would take a picture of it. And so as I went through the day, I would be taking multiple pictures. And at the end of my day, before going to bed, I would look through all of them and find the one that spoke loudest to me. And then I would create a post about what that meant for me, and how that affected my day. And once I started that, and it, you know, the funny thing with gratitude is once you get on board with it and you start practicing it, it just automatically manifests itself. It is, and it's so powerful that it, there is a shift that happens within you, that even if you want to look for the bad, you can't, because you know it's all, you're training your brain to look for the good.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have Lori Marini. She's a pathologist assistant working in oncology for 20 plus years. In 2017, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and realized she wanted and needed to support other cancer and chronic illness warriors to live their best life post-treatment. For them, to live courageously in the face of some awful circumstances is something really amazing. And she became certified life coach, Reiki practitioner, and holistic living enthusiast. And she wants to give back and to be there for people that are going through this experience, and also get them to have a different perspective on the experience, and as well as on gratitude. And I'm really happy to have her here. Lori, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So let us know a little bit more about you, about your story.
So, my story began, 20 years ago when I decided that I wanted to be in oncology. So I've worked as a pathology assistant. My job is to be on the front lines. I am the person between the surgeon and the pathologist who gets the slides. So we get every specimen that comes through like a hospital or a clinic. So whether it's a biopsy to a major resection, I'm the person that will handle that. I've also been actively involved with cancer research with my profession, and I have I've done everything from autopsy to forensics. So my background in oncology is quite extensive, and I've been very blessed to be surrounded by some really smart people. And at my last position, I was involved with opening up a genomic center, a precision medicine center. And while I was there is when I got diagnosed. So I was working in a cancer institute, seeing metastatic patients every day. And then I was diagnosed personally, and I found myself on the other side of the table. And that experience for me was quite difficult, because I knew the hospital inside and out, and here I am. I know exactly what's going to happen to me. I know exactly how the treatment is going to go, because I've seen it firsthand. And I was just completely overwhelmed. And as I was going through my own healing process, I really took on gratitude by daily posts that we could definitely get into. But I also acknowledge the fact that if someone like me, who's worked in the hospital setting for over 20 years, like, how do other people do it? And, it's what triggered me to start Loving Gypsy Soul. And it's something that I realized there is a definitive need. There's a need for people to be supported, to be heard, and to just really get a community around them, of people who have shared a similar experience.
It makes so much sense. And it's so interesting how life works and how we get to experience certain things to be able to know how it is to be in someone else's shoes and to be able to find like a really deeper meaning to our own existence. So let us know a little bit about your journey with gratitude on in this situation.
So I had a really difficult time. I was very blessed. Ironically enough, I was working for a breast oncologist at the time. Mm. So he was very understanding. So I was able to work from home while I was healing because my job was very physical. And what I found is that I was having a really difficult time emotionally. Now that the physical part was over, I was, you know, the emotional component reared its ugly head, as I like to say, because you don't experience all of them at the same time, right? There's a mm-hmm. social component, there's a physical component, and an emotional component, and they all show up at different scenarios. And what I found was that I was in a really bad place. I was feeling down to the point that, you know, my boyfriend looked at me and he's like, you have to snap out of this, like you're not the same person. And you know, it's hard for somebody who hasn't gone through the experience to know what people are feeling, but I was really grateful that, you know, he kind of gave me the hard push that I needed. And a couple of years before, what I found myself doing was in my everyday, I would look for something that was moving, beautiful, or inspiring, and I would create an Instagram post on it. And so I got back to that. And it was kind of difficult because I was confined to my, you know, 600 square foot apartment in the middle of Boston, but I would really find something to be grateful for every day. So whether that was me being able to open up, you know, a can or like a soda, not, I don't drink soda, but like a water bottle. Mm-hmm. You know, the small things is really what made it difficult. But that's kind of how I went through it, is I just really became present to my surroundings and I became present with people. And I just looked for the game changers, as I like to call them, the people who are doing things a little bit differently and are really honorable people.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. It's so interesting how the things that we appreciate change when different circumstances change. Like just these simple things that we do every day without even thinking about them can become something that we really appreciate that we can do. That's so interesting.
Yeah, I think my most humble moment for me was when I was finally able to leave my apartment, and it was my first solo journey. All I wanted to do was go to Starbucks around the corner. And so I made my way around the block. I got to the door and I tried with one arm, I tried to open it. And then I tried both hands and I tried to open it and I could not. I did not have enough force in my arms. Now, mind you, I'm a former CrossFit, like tough mudder, like anything extreme sports, like that was me. And I couldn't open a simple door. And in that moment, I just felt so defeated. You know, it was, the experience is life altering on so many levels that you don't expect until you go through it.
That's, wow. Not being able to do these simple things after being so strong and brave, it really makes you think about life and about how fragile it is actually. And the fact that even though we're doing these things every day, hopefully right now you're okay and you can do this easily. By the way, I'm curious, how do you still feel, like, even though not as intense, but a little bit of gratitude when you are able to to do this action, to open the door, to go grab a coffee or something?
Yeah, I do because I'm 2.5 years out from having bilateral mastectomies, and still to this day, there are things I cannot do. I still have a hard time opening up, you know, a container, the lid off of a container, or closing windows. So yeah, it's very alive and present for me. But what it's also made me really present to is to just being more aware of my surroundings and those around me, and where I could be of help, where I can be the person to, you know, help them with the door. That's in my personality to begin with. Like, I'm the person who, if I see somebody on the street, you know, on the street corner with, you know, their phone out looking lost, like, even if I don't know where I am, I will always go up to them and be like, do you need help? Right. So it's just how I am as a person. But this experience has made me realize, you know, everybody has their own struggles. Sometimes you have no idea what they're going through. And to just really give people grace, just allow them a little bit more leeway in however they're behaving. You know, if they're being a jerk, then, you know, they might have something going on. If they are, you know, just be kind to one another and just be, you know, gracious.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's so practical, actually, because if we are kinder to each other, like, many conflicts come from, like, different small frustrations that one experiences that goes on to take on another, to another person, the other one reacts, and from that, from there on, many things can happen.
Absolutely.
But if we choose to interrupt this this vicious circle, we can be that person in the world, and that makes a lot of difference. If we, more of us, choose to be more kind and interrupt that circle, less and less problems will arise in the world in general.
Agreed. You know, some people, there's a saying for it that just came to mind, is meeting people where they're at. And, you know, if we all did that in our personal lives and in our professional lives, it would really make a difference.
Definitely. And what do you feel it's like the most important thing that you have learned in this experience when it comes to appreciating life? Like, what would you tell our listeners about their own life? What should they focus on? What should they appreciate?
Oh, there's so much. You know, I think we just already talked about it, is really just meeting people where they are. You know, we spend so much time trying to change people or situations to conform to our own belief. But perhaps, you know, it's just the universe's way in telling you, or telling, you know, so it perhaps is just the universe, you know, letting you know, like, either this person or this situation isn't right for you, and don't question it and move on. So don't try to change what you can't change, but also be very grateful for what you have. You know, living with a grateful heart is everything. Being, you know, it has you be aware and has you be humbled to the greatness in your life, if you're willing to look for it. You know, 10 years ago, I literally sold my too big for me home, all of my possessions, and I started living down a minimalist route. And it was probably the best thing that I could ever do, because I was not attached to my belongings. So it allowed me to really be more present with the people in my life. Because I wasn't competing, you know, for who had the better shoes or who had the better purse, right? Like, and it's such a funny game that we get into, but ultimately, you know, that's not what's important. At least that's my belief. What's really important in life is getting connected with people and understanding that our differences can be a positive. But if we are not grateful for what we have in our own lives, there's no way that we could ever be supportive and happy, truly happy for someone else, right? Because then at that point, it becomes a competition instead of people trying to support each other to, you know, have them live their best version of themselves.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think it's somehow innate to compare, and it's something that we do sometimes unconsciously. But what I found is that by looking for things that you appreciate about other people rather than and see them with admiration, that actually brings them closer to you, because what we see in other people is also in us. And the fact that we are able to see the beauty in them and appreciate it makes us feel that appreciation, that gratitude. And I think that can be something really powerful for us to do and to think about.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about your gratitude practice. Like, what do you do, or what did you do for a while to get on this gratitude habit?
Honestly, it was a conscious effort where I would go throughout my day. I would just look for things that I found to be beautiful, that moved something within my soul, or so I would walk down the streets, no matter where I was, at work or, you know, in the grocery store, it didn't matter. But if I found something that was really inspirational for me, I would take a picture of it. And so as I went through the day, I would be taking multiple pictures. And at the end of my day, before going to bed, I would look through all of them and find the one that spoke loudest to me. And then I would create a post about what that meant for me, and how that affected my day. And once I started that, and it, you know, the funny thing with gratitude is once you get on board with it and you start practicing it, it just automatically manifests itself. And it's so powerful that there is a shift that happens within you, that even if you want to look for the bad, you can't, because you know it's all, you're training your brain to look for the good. So for me, you know, I've continued this practice. I actually have a website that has a full page dedicated to it, and I, you know, share it with others. It's what I post every day on, you know, I have an Instagram page, I have a Facebook page, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Pinterest, I'm on Twitter, anywhere where I could go and just put this positivity out in the world, because it may not affect every person, but if I can affect and make a difference for one person in my day, then I have done my job.
That's so true. That's so true and so powerful. And yeah, I know about your section about daily gratitude, and there are almost 500 days of gratitude. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been, now that I'm on this journey, I don't ever see myself being able to go back. It's really what keeps me positive. In the face of adversity, I'm able to just really step back. It's my own form of meditation in a way. You know, I like to meditate, I like to do yoga, but gratitude goes along with that. It really is a way of being, and not just something that we do. And it alters you. It has you become a more positive person. It has you want to do right by others. And honestly, that's how, so for me, that's what life coaching, you know, it's just a direct extension of that. Me being able to support other people who are struggling, So my focus is on cancer warriors and also other people that have a chronic illness, because cancer is a chronic illness. But it doesn't mean that I won't support other people who, you know, might want to find like a work-life balance, or, you know, they want to get healthy and they don't know how to go about it. And, you know, it translates. If I didn't live with my own grateful heart and happy for everything and all my blessings and the fact that I am able to be here with you today, right? One of the things I didn't share about my story is that when I turned 40, I went to my primary care physician and she's like, you need to get a mammogram. I had no family history. And so she's like, you know what, make sure you just do it this year. And I said, okay. My year came and went because I was so busy at work and so busy with life. I never did it. When I was 41, I went back to the same physician. I found myself in her office being like, I am so sorry, but I didn't go. And I promise I will go. Like, I will make this happen this year, I swear. And she turned to me and she said, Lori, they just changed the guidelines to 45. You just bought yourself another 4 years. Don't worry about it. And so I was kind of like a little bit happy because it's like a dreaded test that nobody wants to go through. And then, you know, at the same time, I've worked in oncology for 20 years and I've seen the devastation firsthand of what can happen. And so after a few days, I woke up after I had a terrible dream where in my dream, I was riddled with cancer. And I remember calling one of my best friends and being like, I am afraid. So please make sure that I call and make an appointment. And so I called that day and, you know, the universe puts you exactly where you need to be. And they just so happened to have an appointment the next day. Wow. So I went for my mammogram the next day. They called me back the next day. And at this time I wasn't really worried because that's standard practice. So I went back the next day, but after a second mammogram and then, you know, about 65 images of an ultrasound and they're in my lymph nodes on each side, you know, I knew what was going on. And it was one of those things that in that moment, I faced my own mortality. I literally sat there and said, when I make it out of here, these are all the things I'm going to do. And this is how my life is going to look. And, you know, and nobody had yet said the words to me, you have cancer. But because of my experience and my knowledge, and I look at those images every day, I'm like, okay, there's something going on. So to link that back to living, you know, gratefully every day is that if in that moment, in my decision, that one time, if I had waited 4 more years to go and get my imaging done, I probably wouldn't have made it. Because I had 4 lesions on my left side.
Oh my God.
That started to go into my lymphatic system. And I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't be here. And so,
wow.
Yeah. And so for me, it's one of those things of every day, in every moment, you have a decision of how it's going to go. You could either go towards the positive and move your life forward, or go towards the negative and take a step back in life. And that's with everything. That's with every interaction. That's with every decision. That's for, you know, where you park your car. I know that sounds silly, but like, it's all connected. It's all part of the universe. So, that for me is when I get down, you know, Because even though I have these practices, you know, I'm still a human being, and there are days where I get down. You know, sometimes I'm disappointed, and so when I have those days, I have to take a step back and recenter myself. And part of that is looking for all the great that I have. You know, my tribe that is an amazing tribe, so supportive. I have such a great group of people in my life. The fact that I'm now able to go and walk down the street on my own and open a door, you know, that I get to live in, I live in downtown Nashville now, that I get to live here in a beautiful building, you know, and I have food every day and I have shelter. You know, when you take it down to making everything simple, you know, those truly are what's important in life. It truly is. And I am very grateful for all of it, because without the people in my life, without, you know, my life would be so much different. They were so great to me when I was going through everything. People that I never expected were one of my girlfriends made a Excel spreadsheet, and they were all fighting as to who would be on what day. You know, like, it was just, it was so humbling for me that people would extend themselves to help me, because I'm just me. So, yeah, that adds to it. So, you know, this is a long answer to your question. Just be aware of everything around you, all, like, the people in your life, your living circumstances. Like, look for the good, because it's so easy to find the bad.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. But it's also easy to find the good if we're looking for it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But I think that takes a little bit more practice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Especially because of how our society is. You know, I don't watch TV and I don't watch the news purposely.
Yeah, neither because do I.
It just hurts my soul, because it just propagates negativity. That if I want to find out what's happening in the world, then I'll go to an article online. And I don't need to hear it, and I can selectively choose what I'm looking at. But the same is true for human nature. Like, we love drama. It's in us to love drama. But it's sometimes it backfires, for sure.
It's true. But I wanted to get to something very specific about what you said, and that I think can be really helpful for our listeners. Since the interview will be airing in October, which is Cancer Awareness Month, can you tell us a little bit about, like, from a specialist standpoint, when should we get checked for cancer? Did you have any kind of symptoms before going there? Because it really made a huge difference, just going to see a doctor and see if you have anything there in your 40s, in the when you were 41 instead of when you were 45. Like, educate us a little bit on this. I think it can be really helpful for our listeners.
So the guidelines right now, unless they have changed, if they truly have changed, the guidelines is for women to get screened at 40, unless you have a family history. But I believe that, you know, we are seeing women younger and younger. There are women in their 20s that are, you know, being diagnosed. For me, I didn't have any symptoms. I didn't feel anything on my self-exam. My doctor also examined me. She didn't feel anything. And I had, like I said, I had four masses, and two of them were quite large. So the fact that we didn't feel that was alarming. But I think self-exams are very, very important. Know your family history. Make sure that you are educated on what is going on in your family if you can. And ultimately, you just need to be an advocate. So if you have a concern, if you're not feeling right, your body talks to you. You just have to be willing to listen. But if you feel that, you know, and it's also, especially for women, and I don't mean to single them out, but women have a very strong intuition. You know when something's going on. So listen to that. Don't turn it off. And also, don't be afraid to go. Just because you're going for a test doesn't mean it's going to come back as something. But the guidelines here in the United States is at 40 years old for patients to get a baseline screening. I believe for males, it's actually even for any male who has a family history as well, they also get checked. So that's something too, like we can't forget the men out there. Men do get breast cancer. It's just not as common. However, when it does show up in men, it's actually more aggressive. So that's also something to be aware of. But yeah, self-exams are key. A mammogram, a yearly mammogram, especially after the age of 40. And definitely just be an advocate. If your doctor's not willing to have you go for an exam, or if they are just not hearing you, then find another doctor. You know, find someone that you're able to really connect with and work with and feel comfortable with. You know, that's their job. And ask questions. You know, if you don't understand something, ask. Really make sure that you are in charge of your care. We have amazing physicians. We have an amazing health system where people are really, you know, I'm a survivor. My surgery for me was curative, and I could not have done that without my medical team. So definitely, you know, become a partner with them is what I would say.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm also curious if you want to share with us, besides of your work and your coaching, what could our listeners do to help if they have friends or family that are in this situation, that are going through cancer or chronic illness? How can they support them?
We're very fortunate that we live in a time where there are a lot of resources. If they don't feel comfortable, you know, sharing some of the very intimate details of their journey with their families or close ones, there's somebody out there that has gone through it too, that will be able to sit there and listen to you and understand exactly what you're going through. So reach out, look for the resources. One of the ones that I just stumbled on, which is amazing, and it's been around for quite some time, is the famous actress Gilda Radner, the one from Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you're familiar with her. Mm-hmm. She has what's a facility that's called Gilda House, and it's nationally here. And they provide free services to all cancer patients and also their loved ones. So anybody that's been affected can go to the center, and they have resources for you. They have books, they have therapy, they have a lot of different resources. And this also can be found within the hospitals themselves. So just know that you're not alone. We're all in this together, but you need to take the first step in reaching out. That's the only thing. And one of the things that I have personally done for people is, one of the things that I found for me was that, you know, everyday life, like I said, was a struggle. And so I developed 10, you know, and I knew that my positive mindset is the only thing that's going to get me through it. Like, I had to stay positive. So for me, what I ended up developing was 10 daily habits of what made me successful every day. And honestly, one of them is get out of bed mm-hmm. and take a shower, right? And then make your bed. Like, getting some normalcy within your life. And that's available as a free download on my website, Loving Gypsy Soul. That, please, I invite anybody, if you are just struggling with moving forward, these are my personal 10 daily habits that I have learned really helped me get out of a really negative mindset.
Beautiful, beautiful. You actually anticipated one of my questions. Where can our audience find you? So it's lovinggypsysoul.com.
Correct. Yep.
And at the end of our time together, what I wanted to ask you is, who are the people in your life that made an impact that you're grateful for, that you'd like to mention?
Oh, Oh, I'm about to cry because they've been so amazing to me. You know, my immediate family, my parents, my sisters, my brother-in-laws, my nieces and nephews, right? And then just my rock, my significant other, my partner in life, you know, Dan, he was there from beginning to end. And the poor guy, he is not a medical guy. He is a business guy. And talk about, you know, loved ones being traumatized. I think to this day, seeing some of the stuff that he saw has changed him forever as well. And that's why my focus for what I'm doing for people is, like, besides the patients, I'm also willing to help the caregivers, the loved yeah. ones, and even the medical staff, because everybody's affected by it. And then just my tribe, the ones who, my Excel spreadsheet tribe, as I like to call them, those who, you know, took a time out of their busy schedule to just come and sit with me on the couch, and just, you know, make me some food and have a few laughs and, you know, bring me cake when I wasn't supposed to be eating it. You know, you know, find those people, look for those people, and just love them hard. Like, don't forget and tell them every day how much they really mean to you, because that's what Beautiful. It's about.
Beautiful. It's a perfect ending for this interview. Thank you so much for being here with us and for sharing so many amazing ideas. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly been an honor.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.